is John Walden. Join us in a little Bible study, will you? The book of Philippians, we noticed in our last study, is called the Servant's Epistle, a very wonderful little book, full of joy. Joy and rejoicing is mentioned 18 times in these four chapters. It's a book about the gospel, for Paul was a great gospel preacher, as well as having a heart to help the Lord's people. We got as far as verse 3, where he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Now, this was not true of all Christians. It isn't all true of all today, either. Now, certainly, there is no joy in thinking about one of our loved ones still lost. So, if you haven't received Christ as your Savior, I couldn't say that I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I could pray for you, but I wouldn't be very thankful for your present state. But if you are a child of God, and you're not going on well for the Lord, this doesn't give one very much joy either. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he wrote to correct things that were not right, and he wrote with tears. And the same when he wrote to the Galatians. But when he wrote to the Philippians, he had a great deal of joy because they were going on well for the Lord. He had great love for them. He speaks of his love for them in this first section here by saying in verse 8, I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. This is an old English expression that means the love, the heart that the Lord had for them. In other words, Paul loved them with the same love that Christ had for them. And this love that we have for fellow Christians is put in our hearts, placed there by the Holy Spirit. According to the fifth chapter of Romans, the love of God is poured into our hearts by His Spirit, which you have given unto us. This is one of the proofs that we are the children of God. According to 1 John 3, verse 14, he says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. So Paul loved these Christians. He had led them to Christ, most of them. And he thanked his God every time he remembered them. Always, he says, in every prayer of mine for you all, making request for with joy. He was a prayerful Christian. Do you pray for other Christians? Intercession is a great work. The Lord Jesus is occupied with this at the present time, who also liveth to make intercession for us. Now, we're never told to pray for dead saints, for dead Christians. We don't need to pray for those who are already taken home to be with the Lord. And it's no use to pray for those who have died without Christ. But we can pray for those who are living, who need our prayers. Paul was a prayerful Christian, and Paul was a thankful Christian. In the last chapter, he tells us that we ought to be the same. Now, one of the reasons why he was thankful upon remembering them, he says in verse 5, was because of their fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. They were his partners. These were people who from the very beginning helped Paul in the spread of the gospel. If you want to read about this, read the 16th chapter of the Acts. There, Paul went to Philippi for the first time. The first person he led to Christ in Philippi was a merchant woman by the name of Lydia, a seller of purple, very fine cloth. And as soon as Lydia's heart was opened, that is, as soon as she received Christ as her Savior, she offered hospitality to the preaching party, Paul and those with him, and so her home was open to the preachers as a place away from home, a center where they could live and go out from there to preach the word. Then, when Paul was put in prison, one of the first things that happened to him after he led the jailer to Christ was that the jailer set food before him, washed his stripes. As an unbeliever, he had beaten Paul and Silas the night before and put their feet in the stocks and then gone off to bed, but the Lord wakened him out of his sleep and saved him, and then he wanted to show whose side he was on, and so he did what he could to help Paul. And he was baptized the same night, took his stand with the Christians, and from that very first day until the time Paul wrote the epistle, which would be about 12 years, these Christians continued to show whose side they were on. Now, I'd like to ask you, if you are a believer, what are you doing to show whose side you're on? There were three things here that these people did. First of all, they prayed for Paul. Are you praying for other Christians? Then they shared in the preaching. They too were sending out the gospel, as well as Paul. And every Christian, you don't have to be called to be a preacher, every Christian ought to tell others about his Savior. And then they had fellowship with Paul in a practical way, because one of the reasons for writing this letter to the Philippians was to thank them for a gift which they had sent to him. In fact, they sent to him twice inside of 3 weeks while he was down at Thessalonica. So they were that concerned about his needs that they sent money to him to help him in spreading the gospel to others. Do you give because you love the Lord and because you love those who serve him, or do you only give when the bee is put on you, only when there's pressure put on you, only when people beg it from you? I don't believe in begging, but some Christians never give unless they're begged. They don't understand that this is a privilege of having fellowship in the gospel. Now Paul says, I am confident of this, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. How did God begin a work in the hearts of these Philippians? Why, through the gospel. Has God begun a work in your heart? Has the Holy Spirit convicted you of your need of a Savior? And has he led you to put your trust in the Lord Jesus? If you can say yes to this, then God has begun a work in you. Now, the God who began the work in them, he said, will perform it or finish it. It takes God to save. It takes God to keep. Some Christians seem to feel that they have to keep themselves. You'd keep yourself about like a little child crossing the street with you, hanging on to your finger. The first slick place that he came to, he'd lose his grip on your finger and down he'd go. That isn't the way you treat a little child. You take hold of that child's hand. You take hold around his wrist, and then if he goes down, you lift him back up. And this is the way God does us. He says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. It isn't my holding on to Christ, but it's his holding on to me. He will perform the work that he began until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, the day of Jesus Christ is the return of the Lord and the judgment seat of Christ when he rewards his servants. This is mentioned again a little bit later in this chapter. The day of Jesus Christ is mentioned in verse 10. He wants that we should be kept sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. So the Lord Jesus is coming back to reward his servants. Now, eternal life is not a reward. It's a free gift. And this we already have. But the rewards are going to be given for faithful servants, for faithful service in the day of Jesus Christ. Now, the Apostle Paul, writing to these people, had to clear up something. They were worried about his being in jail. You see, Paul had been arrested by Nero, the Roman emperor, and was in prison in Rome. But he says, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. So they were partakers or partners with him in the grace of God. You see, the Apostle Paul was set for the defense and confirmation of the gospel. The gospel was on trial in Nero's world tribunal. But the Apostle Paul says, I am set for the defense of the gospel. Now he said, I love you and you love me. The term, I have you in my heart, in the margin says, you have me in your heart. It is a reciprocal term, can be read either way, and this is true of all Christians. Paul loved all saints, not just those who belonged to his particular party, for he didn't have any particular party. In fact, in writing to the Corinthians, he rebuked anyone for saying, I belong to Paul's party. We belong to Christ, and all believers are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And Paul said, I have you in my heart. And you have me in your heart. And so now we are partners together in the in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. And Paul said, I long after you in the bowels or the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. His heart for you is the way I feel towards you. But now he comes back to his prayer. He said that he prayed for them every day. Here is his prayer, verses 9, 10, 11. I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge, that is, knowledge of experience, and in all judgment or sensitive tact. I want you to be loving, but I want you to be thoughtful at the same time. So he prays that their hearts might be right. Then he prays that they may approve things that are excellent, that is, that they may try the things that differ, and that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. So he wants their minds to be right. Then he prays that they might be filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. So he wants these people to be fruitful Christians. Now, fruit-bearing is not the same as work. Any unsaved person can work. He can even do church work, but he can't produce fruit, because fruit is produced by the Holy Spirit working in the lives of believers. So this Christian stalwart character that he prays for these Philippians, is the result of the Holy Spirit working in our hearts and lives and making us more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've received Christ as your Savior, then read over verses 9, 10, and 11 and pray this prayer with the Apostle Paul, that you too might be this kind of a Christian, that you might be a fruitful, useful Christian, in order that you might be to the glory and praise of God, not for your own honor, but for the honor of the Lord who has done so much for us. Our Father, we thank thee for thy Son, and we thank thee for thy grace and kindness to us, and now we pray that thou bless thy word to both saint and sinner, save the lost, and help thy dear children to love thee more and to go on for thee as we ought. We pray in our Savior's precious name. Amen.